Hello, Profit Addict, and welcome to the new episode of The Other Marketing Guys, a podcast/YouTube channel video show that we're doing kind of whatever the fuck we
actually
want.
I think it's a talk show.
Yeah, more like a talk show where we share our struggles, our experiences, our thoughts, and mostly positive, actually.
But yeah, okay, we
do like to stay negative on some things.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, Simon?
It's our 10 worst SEO mistakes. Oh. And hold on. Number 7 will ruin you.
Yes. Number 7 is yours, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's planned.
It's planned.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So my first one, I'm starting as always, and I have to say for this one, as a developer, it wasn't me.
Okay.
But I'd like to call the first one Progressive Web App. PWA. PWA. And in this is very technical, but in Angular or React or something, you can do a website. Whereas if you do not use the functionality for pre-render the site, then the site is rendered when you visit the site and not pre-rendered. Yeah. That means that when Google visits your site, it's empty. And I have seen like one of the biggest brands, like top 100 companies in Denmark, was consulting on like, what did we do wrong here? And I was like, why you erased your entire website? So they roll out in some of the smaller European nations, not the smaller nations, but the smaller markets for them, like Poland and so on. Yeah. And they just lost everything on SEO. It's because when Google crawled the site, the title was dollar curly something title, and the content was just white, and then there was a footer which was dollar something footer one, dollar something footer two.
Damn, that's pretty sad. But I have a question: what kind of industry was it? Because normally, normally what I see is web apps that have to be rendered like that, written in JS, they are behind a login wall and they don't really get indexed.
Yeah, but a lot of people, like my best friends, mates who are developers, like, and stayed as developers, not went into marketing as me, they are shifting to React and what I do not know all the names.
Vue,
Angular, Vue 8, or whatever. Vue.js, Angular, and it's a matter of server settings. That if you do it wrong, then the server is not rendered right. And I've actually seen this a couple of times where I catched it before the site was site was launched. And this is a mistake that's made every time someone is doing custom stuff. Because it's never a problem in WordPress, actually.
But I have a question, actually. What you're referring to, is it the same as server-side rendering?
Yeah, it's a setting. I think it's a setting in Angular or React or just the language.
Does it have to do anything with setting who the user agent is, so that only for Google?
I do not know.
Okay,
No. It's actually something where you say that normally you have a template where you put variables, put in data, title tags and H1s and so on into that template. And if you do that, you can do it client-side, so when you visit it, it's getting rendered.
Getting rendered in the browser.
But you want it to be server-side rendered, so there is already rendered HTML files or rendered views. So when everybody crawls it, and when I visit it, it's pre-rendered for me.
But see, that's the thing. Is it possible to limit it only to Google so that only Google sees the server-side rendered?
Yeah, because otherwise that makes no sense to do it like that.
Doesn't it become too heavy for the server? Don't you want to offload the resources to the client when you're doing that?
It's always not faster.
Okay.
Server-side renders would, in my opinion, always be faster.
Yeah.
But if you do like Ajax and something that like a tool, like a software, like online software, where you can click and then do this and swipe in and scroll and turn the wheel and so on. And this makes no sense.
And smash the like button.
Yeah, smash the like button. It's something where you do on-time, like real-time rendering.
Sorry.
But if you want content, you have to render the content for Google.
Okay.
So, but that's a big mistake, and we're already like 5 minutes in, and we have 9 yet. Wow. Okay. So yeah, the second one.
Second one, PBNs. Actually, I take them whatever order. I would say PBNs because I still see people asking stupid questions like, "Is PBN going to hurt my website?" Yes, yes, it's going to hurt your website.
It depends on how you make them.
But see, that's the thing. Best case scenario, in my opinion, it's only going to work for a little while.
Yeah. Worst case scenario. This is something for another blog, entire post.
I think PBN should only be used for second tier.
Then you'll have to. It has to be important that the definition of PBNs is important.
Correct.
Because if you do actual websites.
Correct. Yes.
For linking.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm trying to like establish a new term called like owned media.
Correct.
So if you have owned media properties, then it's not the same.
If you run 5 websites that are legit,
or 500.
Yeah, exactly, or 500 that are legit, I wouldn't call that PBN myself. I see PBN as the stuff you find on Black Hat World that you don't get reports for, that is just features different languages, different anchor text, super general stuff, you know.
Yeah.
That's generally what I would consider a PBN. Yeah. But
we have some sites, but we do them super niche and we do valuable content.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it gets traffic and value, then it's fine.
The next one is bad or the lack of internal links.
Yeah.
And it happens. I forgot to do it also. Like when you outsource a lot of content, you never get any internal link building. So you have to do the internal link building when you post the content, or like heavily edited to internally fitting into your site. And I have a blog with 140 posts and 100 of them have no internal links inside the content. And it would look, it's so weird because that's not a normal thing to do when you're blogging.
Yeah.
So it's a big mistake because Google will see that, what's this? And why is it like this?
Mm-hmm.
And internal links work really good. Actually, it's maybe the best links you can get. It's internal links,
and you can be very generous with the anchor as well. Yeah, yeah. I have an idea now, but don't tell the rest. But maybe we can make a tool that actually
automates it.
Yeah,
but that's built into WordPress with one of the tools, all-in-one SEO, I think.
Does it? I haven't used that.
Some of the tools does that, but I don't use WordPress, so I'm an idiot. The next one, number 4, is yours.
Yes, 1 second, please. SEO. All right, number 4. Actually, I think some websites, it's not that common nowadays because webmasters are smarter, obviously. But you shouldn't, let's say there's a lot of people still that do user-generated content, like, for example, roundups and submit queries to Harrow, for example, help a reporter out. But you should be careful with actually having a login where users can self-publish user-generated content, because it can get really spammy like that. We all know, you know, those Facebook groups that
if you have a high domain rank, I will catch you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you will get content from my agency.
You will link to my Chinese website with Chinese anchor text, which is not relevant at all. But yeah, in general, we all know those Facebook groups that are just brewing from people self-promoting and posting different stuff. And think about it.
Like with the groups I'm a part of where I self-promote.
Yeah. That's just a Facebook group that you can delete and start a new one tomorrow, right? But we're talking about a website that you've probably invested tens and even not hundreds of hours.
Thousands
of hours to make.
Yeah.
So just make sure that you have control of quality when publishing content.
My SEO mistake is also like one of maybe my own mistake, but also like a general mistake that's being done really widely is trusting blindly or just trusting in SEO tools data.
We had a video about this already.
Yeah. So, it is a mistake that even the highly regarded SEO agency takes the search volume metric as factual data, and it's just not factual data, and you have to not trust in those tools. You have to be skeptic of everything posted online, even in tools, even if it looks like it's from like Sparktor or Ahrefs, Moz, everything. You have to be, or is this true every time you read something, even from Google especially. posts from Google saying, so this last update is all about, and you have to be skeptic about everything. Yeah. Like, actually, the biggest mistake in this one, number five, trust. Blindly trust.
Okay,
in trust authorities or authoritative tools and authoritative persons.
Yep.
Test yourself. Try something out, even then. If it's against Google's guidelines, try it, get hurt, get bruised. Try something that people don't recommend. Try the things that you don't read in Ahrefs blog or Ahrefs YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Try stuff that we don't tell you on this channel. Try something that you have never heard about. And try making content for something that has no search volume. Try making content for something that has a lot of search volume. So try everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing that can learn you anything about SEO is trial and error.
Correct. I agree, actually.
Number six?
Yeah. Do we go for number six? Okay, this is a little bit of a weird one. Because it's not one specific thing, but it's a combination of many things. But it kind of applies to people as well as websites. But it's about messy websites, actually. Last night when I was writing my notes, I said, get your shit together, people, which I'll say again. And this probably applies to me a little bit as well. I think it applies to everyone a little bit, right?
Yeah, especially to you.
Thanks. But see, that's the thing, because we actually kind of mentioned something about it in a previous video where people that start, let's say, 100 websites already have a process. So they know how to automate stuff. They know which comes after which. But if you just start a new website, it's fine to not have a process. But if you plan on doing something for a long term, it's good to have an idea of how a structure should look like. Because here's the problem. Let's say you have a new website and you go and build 50 links. Then 6 months later, you have published 10 posts and you realize 6 months after that those 10 posts were wrong, the wrong keywords you should target. So what happens? You just lost literally 1 year of work and the 50 links up front didn't give you any value just because you didn't have the right order of things to do. So for example, keyword mapping. You should start with stuff like that because it makes sense, right?
Yeah, topic clustering.
Yeah, like no one knows all the topics you're going to write, but you should still have a general idea of how to split things, right?
Brainstorming.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing for like URLs. Let's say you have two similar topics, but you want to differentiate them. You can really easily get confused by the URL itself and the URL structure, like the site architecture, you know, like, okay, let's say you have five different things you talk about on your website. Does it really need a tag and a sub tag and a little category and whatever? Mm-hmm. No. So just make things right and make it structured, so to speak. It's going to help you in the long run at the very least.
Yeah.
Take number seven.
Yeah, number seven was the promise at the beginning that this will ruin you if you do this. Mm-hmm. As a part of a company I once worked in, we rebranded a branch of our website and moved it to another domain.
Yeah,
a lot of things went seriously wrong in this process.
Mm-hmm.
I can say from certainty that it was done technically 100% correct. Removed from domain A with high authority to domain B with no authority. We moved a section of our site because it did not fit in to the specific site. And we moved it 301 redirected it, like permanent redirect to the new site from the only this section of the site to the new domain. The new domain in Google was gone. We couldn't, it was not even like, it's not just like not ranking, it was gone.
Damn.
I have, at the time, I outsourced between myself and other experts, like highly regarded Danish experts.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do wrong? No one could find anything other than the domain might have been used before for scammy stuff. That's the only thing we could find out. And also it would be like that domain we moved from a high authority domain to a low authority domain that was sketchy. Maybe sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know. Maybe sketchy. And Google thought this new domain copied everything from the big authority.
Oh my God.
So it's just like, no, you're not No, you're out.
Can you give us a little bit more details? What was the section that?
No,
you mean?
I can't really do that.
Okay, but because was of anything. It an informational section? Like,
no,
was it content?
If you have an e-commerce store,
yeah,
and you expand your product categories
range.
too far,
yeah,
and you want to do a section of your products and your categories products to another domain because it makes more sense.
Uh-huh, okay. That's a perfect explanation. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
But it will ruin you if you do not have the financial strength to endure it.
Yeah, definitely.
We actually ended up like we had one side, and we started two new sides, and we expanded the one sides to two other. So we ended up with five or six sites from one domain. So two new grew, and two other came from the big one.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up like merging it all again to one big domain.
Yeah.
Because that's the way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You do not do six times branding.
Yeah.
Do one, especially on stores, because the products between stores, that was messy. Really messy. So, yeah, we need to be a little bit faster. So, yep. The number eight.
Number eight, I would say using subdomains were not needed. Now, I know. Especially in SaaS, I think in SaaS that's very, very common, you know, SaaS, software as a service. But you see companies that are website dot extension.
And app dot.
Yeah. And then you have app, but you also have blog.
Abos.
Yeah. Yeah. This one will ruin you. No, but it's true. Okay. What's the biggest mistake here? It's not that, for example, you just want to split it or whatever. It's actually how Google sees those subdomains. Technically, a subdomain is a whole new website in Google, and this is actually exactly why you see so many people sell, for example, PBNs from website.blogspot.com, because it's a completely new website, for example. That's the way Google sees it. And you
actually, and the funny part is Google denies this fact, but it's true.
It's true. You cannot rank as good if you haven't gained the same authority, even though it's under the same website. And I have an extreme example you can see here. I'm not going to show it because it's a different language. It's something personal for these people. But you can see they have stacked one, two, three, like two subdomains on. It's basically, if you think about, like, it's a guy and a girl that are married or something like that.
Oh, like that. Yeah. Okay.
it's names. It's like John and Mary dot com, for example. That's their name.
Yeah. So it's like is in that example it's www dot this is not the real domain www dot john dot and dot mary dot com.
Exactly.
It's actually all of these are subdomains for mary.com, which actually be a great domain name. I want that.
Exactly, mary.com. If you can get that.
Okay, we need to go faster. Yep. Cool. Because our power and our time is running out.
Cool. Go ahead.
So I think number nine is mine, the last one. Thanks. And it's my biggest mistake from the last 1 year of doing this content effort is I have to read it. Content that makes no difference or impact, uninteresting content, and content that makes no difference in people's lives. And it's so important to understand it, and we don't have time to go into it. We have to maybe do another video about like bad content, because this content is actually good content, like well written, it's a great resource of information. But it's like so what content? When you read it, it's like meh. So what?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So you can read, you can post 4,000 words content where you are like, no, okay, but you know it from when you meet somebody at a party, could be an interesting person. They talk for an hour, and you're like, ugh. And in 10 minutes you couldn't remember anything the person just said.
Yeah.
It's just like so what? Because the attention span we have today. You really have to give some like pro tip or important notice or do this something that if you have a blog post, highlight something, highlight what people need to do and what people need not to do, and highlight the bad things and the good things and the takeaways and the keys things and the cheat sheets and the tables of data and the information in the picture. Makes all of this makes it content. Aha. Exactly.
Basically give them a why, like why should I care about this, you know, like,
and maybe aha moment is the best thing you can ever do in a content.
Yeah. Correct.
So next, the last one, number 10.
Was it 10 we said? Oh, God damn it. Okay, I would say actually, because
okay, you can mix them. Yeah.
I like both of them, but I'll take number 11 this time.
It's the 10th for you.
It's the 10th for you. It's just 11 on my list. But 1999 designs. I think, come on, people. Come on, people. A bad design is not just something that can hurt conversions, you know, or just you don't like it or this person likes it and so on and so on. It's actually a real factor in Google because it has to mobile friendly. It has to do with the user experience in general. So let's say
and trust.
Yeah, exactly. If let's say you have the potential of ranking number one on your target keyword on something you really want to rank. The user comes and then they see a very old website that the text goes like 100 pixels over to the right. They have to scroll. It's very bad. There's no buttons, just like little old, the blue links, you know, the default links.
This is especially something if you want to compete in the YAML, you have to look trustworthy.
Exactly. It's just not, I mean, it's not that goddamn hard to have a good design nowadays. No one says you should have like flying like gremlins around the screen.
You should especially not have doing that.
Yeah, especially don't have flying gremlins. But I mean, you can easily either copy a template or just use a template. Yeah. It's whatever CMS you're using nowadays, you can get that. It's not that big of a deal. And it's really not going to slow your website down if you already use some CMS that is heavy.
I think the tip from here is, I would extend the tip number 10 is, mm-hmm. to bad design and over designing it. Like there's two ways of doing too much of the fancy painty thing. Mm-hmm. And then there is this, I never updated my website in 20 years design.
Yeah. Lazy.
Be contemporary.
Yeah.
I think be contemporary. Exactly. Be in the middle. Be fit in.
I agree.
That's the best thing online. And on that note, all of you, if you like profits as well, then please subscribe for this channel. Leave a like.
A big like.
Just leave a like.
Just
leave
a like, yeah.
Yeah. You can hit this. It's better than nothing if we're totally... If you've watched it, all of these 20-something minutes, and you think we're idiots, then please tell us why in the comments.
Because you actually help us.
Yeah, it would actually. So hopefully we'll see you soon. And see you waving stuff. It's getting awkward now.